A kid with a sling takes out a mighty giant. We'll tell you all about it next on The Balanced Word as we bring you another Bible story.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Over the course of the last century, many a sports team has won a great championship. The ones that are truly memorable are those who won despite being a decided underdog. The 69 Miracle Mets and the 1985 Villanova men's basketball team come to mind as underdogs who triumphed. Today on The Balanced Word, Dave Rolfe is going to begin a look at one of the biggest mismatches in history, David versus Goliath. Now on paper, David didn't have a chance. We all know, however, that David did indeed bring down that giant through the strength of God. Pastor Dave will give us the tale of the tape from 1 Samuel chapter 17 as he continues his series on the stories of the Bible.
Now at this time, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. We are this year going through the whole Old Testament and picking up key stories as we go along. And the story that we're looking at this week is one of the most well-known Bible stories. That's the story of David and Goliath. It's a great story. I'm kind of glad it's here, though, because all week I've had, if you grew up in Sunday school, you sang that song, Only a Boy Named David. And I see a lot of dumb looks. How many of you know that song, Only a Boy Named David, Only a Little Sling, Only a... God, what was with the rest of you guys? Were you heathens or Catholics or something when you were kids? No, but that song has just been going through my mind. I'm laying in bed trying to get sleep last night, and I'm hearing, and round and round and round and round and round and round and round, and one little stone went through the air, and the giant came tumbling down. So I'm hoping that, and I was going to make all of you sing it, but it's obvious that none of you have culture. So, but it's the story that today they would, if you were starting over with the Bible, today they would never teach the kids this story because it's so politically incorrect. I mean, for one thing, this guy's a giant. Today we would call him vertically advantaged or something like that. And a story for children about a kid who has a slingshot, for one thing, kills this big giant, and then chops his head off and holds it up in triumph. I mean, that just wouldn't fly today at all. But for most of history, they thought this was a cool story. And I still kind of think it's a cool story. And so we're going to have a look at it and talk about maybe something that God might want to be teaching us through this great story of David and Goliath. Now, to set it up, the children of Israel, through the judges, that wasn't going well. They wanted a king. So they picked a guy named Saul. He was the kind of guy that people would pick. He was good looking, he was tall, and he was dumb. Those are usually the kind of people that we'll put in charge of things, or they'll become pastors of large churches or whatever. But you know, this was Saul. He failed miserably as a pastor. As a king, he was miserable in every way. And so God said, I can do better than this. The next king I pick is going to be one I pick, not somebody that we get because he's taller than everyone else. And so he picked a kid named David, who was a young shepherd boy. He had 7 older brothers. Samuel said, this is the next king, and he anointed him. But David went back to work as a shepherd. Saul is still king. The process of David actually becoming king was going to be a lengthy one. Well, in our story today in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Saul is leading the armies of Israel, and some people called the Philistines, who were the nemesis of Israel, were attacking them. The Philistines came from what we call today the Gaza Strip. They were down there on the south end of Israel on the Mediterranean Sea. And they were always fighting against Israel. In this case, what they tried to do is fight their way across the middle of Israel to try to divide the nation, so that they could divide and conquer. So they met, the armies of the Philistines met the armies of Israel in a place called Elah, the Valley of Elah. Now it was sort of a stalemate at this point because the Philistines were coming over a mountain, the Israelis were coming over an opposite mountain, and there's a valley there. Now, how do you end this battle? How do you win it? So they were having little skirmishes. Things weren't going anywhere. In the meantime, David's back at home watching sheep, but his dad says, hey, three of your brothers are up there in the war. Here, take them this little care package. So he took some bread and cheese and flour and went to deliver it to the brothers. Now, while he was there, he hears this huge voice, and it says there was a giant who it describes him as, well, you can look at the way it described him. It said a champion, verse 4, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So usually a cubit, I mean, we don't know for sure on these sizes, but a cubit was generally the length from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger, so around 18 inches, we usually think, and then a span is the distance from your thumb to your little finger when you spread your hand out. So in general, this would look like 9 feet, 6 inches, but some people have estimated he was over 7 feet tall, and some people have gone as high as 10. But he was a big guy. And it said he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. So about 120-pound coat on this guy. And he had bronze armor on his legs. We don't know what that weighed. A bronze javelin. And now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. So it was like a 4x4. And it had on it an iron spearhead that weighed 600 shekels, or like 17 pounds. And a shield bearer went before him. And he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And the word champion means a middleman, the literal meaning of it. They had a tradition that instead of having a whole bunch of people die in a war, and in this case it was a war that hardly could be won when you're fighting over a valley like this. So one guy who was really tough would step up front and would say, look, let's just do this mano a mano, one-on-one, anything goes, you know, one round, winner takes all. You send somebody up here and fight me, and this was something that they would do somewhat regularly. You have a brawl with just two guys in this MMA match, and whoever wins, your side wins. The other side backs off, saves a lot of trouble, and let's face it, everybody sitting on the hillsides gets to see a good show. So this guy shows up. The problem is he's so huge, the Jews didn't have anyone who could really match up to him in a face-off battle. Remember who the tallest Jew was? It was Saul, head and shoulders taller than everyone else. So he's probably like 6'8", or something like that maybe. But he's no match. Plus, he's not going to put his life on the line. So Goliath, he's disposable. He actually had 4 giant brothers. So, you know, nobody could do it. So David shows up with the bread and cheese. And he hears this, and he's going, what's going on? I mean, you hear what he's talking about, God? You hear him cursing us with his gods? Isn't anybody going to go fight this guy? And somebody says to David, they go, well, there's a reward if you want to do it, probably kind of mockingly. He goes, really? What do you get? He goes, anybody will go fight Goliath. The king said, I'll make you rich, and I will give you a princess to marry, and you will be exempt from taxes. Now, for a young kid, the money sounded pretty good. The taxes, he's never paid taxes before, but marrying a princess? Got to be kidding. That would be awesome. So he's like, really? And he can't believe it. So he's going and asking several people, hey, what would happen to somebody who goes and fights the giant? And they go, yeah, pile of money, you get the princess, and you're exempt from taxes. He's like, really? He goes and asks somebody else. Now, his oldest brother heard it. And he goes, shut up, you idiot. What are you doing? You're just out here. You think you could do this? Are you kidding me? Go back to your sheep. You don't belong here. I know ever since Samuel came and put oil on your head, you think you're something. Just get back home. You're making a fool of yourself. You're making everyone else look bad as well. But in the meantime, word got around to Saul. There weren't many people even asking about the reward. So somebody goes, hey, there's some kid out here who's asking around about the reward. So Saul calls him in, and then he's like, oh, shoot, some little kid. He goes, what do you want? David goes, really, is there a reward? And he goes, yeah, but you're a little kid, and this guy's inexperienced. He's been a soldier all his life, and he's huge. There's no, and David is like, hey, man, I've killed lions, I've killed bears. You know, I could kill them all. I could take this guy. I mean, God will give me strength. Somebody's got to stand up to this uncircumcised Philistine. So Saul goes, okay, I mean, I got nobody else volunteering. So he said, why don't you wear my armor and take my sword? Because you're going to need weapons. The way these battles went down, you just went and clashed. And so David tries on his armor and gets his sword. He can hardly lift it. The armor droops down. Remember how tall Saul was. David's a little kid. So then he's like, this doesn't fit very well. And all the little kid's armor I see is all made out of plastic. It's not going to help me. So let me just go like this. I'm good. And Saul's like, okay, man, good luck, kid. So you see the story. He goes out there. And, I mean, Goliath sees him. And it's just like, you got to be kidding me. And Goliath begins to make fun of him. And down there in verse 42, it says, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, red-headed, good-looking kid. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. In other words, he goes, you get down here right now, right here, and I'm just going to feed you to the birds. I'm ready. And David's up there, and this kid could trash talk with the best of them. I mean, remember, he's a poet. He's been writing psalms for years. So look at his rap in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day, I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Whoa. Now Goliath is like, you little punk. Now you're really going to get it. So come on, let's go. But interestingly, David doesn't do what the Philistine expected him to do. Normally, he would step into the ring and they would do battle. See, the weapons that Goliath had were meant for a short distance. If you have a spear that has a 17-pound spearhead and the shaft of it's like a 4x4, it's not like you're going to be throwing that thing 50 yards. He expected him to come down there with armor and boom, they would just duke it out right there in the ring. David has a different plan. For one thing, it's not going to work for him to go head-to-head with them. So but what he does instead, he has his little sling. Now, this isn't like a Dennis the Menace slingshot. A sling for them was a leather pouch with two straps on it. You'd put a rock or often a ball bearing of some kind, a piece of metal in it, and you'd whip it around over your head, and experts say that they would swing it at about 6 revolutions per second. So like that, and you let go of one string, and boom, that projectile would come flying out of there. In Malcolm Gladwell's book, David and Goliath, he cites an Israeli ballistics expert who said that they could shoot accurately with that thing like 200 yards. In the book of Judges, it says they could hit it with a hair's breadth. There are some historians that claim that they could hit a coin from as far away as you could just barely see the coin, but not unusual for them to kill an animal from 200 yards. And as they're flinging this thing, it's going like 115 or so feet per second, which is, I mean, it's not like a gun that shoot 800, 900 foot per second, but it's going like, well, you know how fast you drive in a 65 mile an hour speed limit, like 75 to 80? That's how far they could shoot this thing. Now imagine a little rock coming that fast at your head. Try to get out of the way of that. It's a pretty dangerous weapon, really. So he has his sling. He walks down to the brook where the water was, and he picks out 5 stones, sticks them in a little bag. He's got his walking stick, and here he comes. And Goliath sees him, and he's like, "You're kidding me, right? This is it. This is nuts. I am going to make you so regret this day." Well, David just had a different strategy. And he probably checked and goes, "Now, are there rules to this?" They go, "No, man, there's no rules. This is anything goes." It would be like if you heard there's an anything goes fight in a ring, and there's a guy who can really fight in the ring, and you go, "Anything goes?" They go, "Yep, anything." And you pull out a gun and just shoot him. I mean, that's essentially, he turned the thing around. It ultimately meant that Saul brought a knife to a gunfight. And so David goes running down the hill. And if he's running downhill, he's not going to go barreling straight down the hill. So he's going zigzag, and he's moving towards him while he's whipping his sling around. And Gladwell also talks about the fact that there's a disease of the pituitary gland that some people are born with genetically, and it causes you to continue to grow. And people still have it today, but they can operate on them and make it stop making them grow. But in those days, it wasn't that strange for somebody to get like 10 feet tall. But Gladwell said one of the symptoms of it is your vision was bad. You'd see double. And then he sees this, and where Goliath says, "You're coming to me as sticks," plural, he only had one stick. So maybe he doesn't see very well. It's kind of blurring up on him. And so here he comes zigzagging down this hill. Next thing you know, poof, he just whips one rock at him, hits him right square in the forehead. And by the way, people with that pituitary gland condition, also their skull becomes really thin in front because it grows faster than it should. And those growth plates just, you know, open up an opening. So boom, Goliath is knocked out. So David just keeps running, and everyone else is stunned. It's like, wait, no, you're usually supposed to go down there, and you're actually going to fight face to face. That's what we thought. This is, hey, he's lying down unconscious. Before they could even say anything, David kept running, grabs this huge spear, kills Goliath, and then chops his head off and holds it up like, "Woo, my trophy." The Philistines are so freaked out. The Jews are so excited. They're running and they're wiping out the Philistines, chasing them off. And that's one of the greatest victories in the history of Israel, was a kid with a sling taking out a giant. And it is an exciting story. It's really cool. But I want you to look at it and think about it a little bit. And then we're going to apply it to maybe what does this have to do with us? Because we're not very good with a sling, and the giants that we fight are a lot different than him, and that would probably be hugely illegal for us to kill our enemies anyway. But in fact, if this was today, they would outlaw slings, or at least heavily control them. But so here's the deal. He's got an enemy, but he's got courage. I mean, David has so much courage that he will act in faith. Now, granted, everybody thought his courage was stupid. Saul thought it was stupid. His brother thought it was stupid. Everybody else who was watching thought it was stupid. Goliath thought it was stupid. But at least he did it. He went for it courageously. Secondly, he was thinking about the reward. David was already envisioning what life would be like after he killed the giant. Because that's what, yes, he's sticking up for the honor of the Lord, But he's also repeatedly saying, how much money? Which princess? No taxes? And so he's already seeing past the obstacle, and he's already thinking about what this is going to be like after I win. A third thing is, he knew his enemy. He understood that the giant had great advantages, but he also had great disadvantages. He saw where the giant's strengths were, and he wasn't going to play to those strengths. He was going to circumvent those strengths to utilize his own strength. Now, fourthly, David didn't do what people expected him to do. He avoided the habitual way of attacking a champion. He instead went outside the box and took a different approach. There were all sorts of guys in Israel who could use a sling very well, but nobody had thought of using one against a giant in the ring because, no, when somebody steps in the ring, you step in the ring. That's just what we've always done. That's our tradition. David went outside of that, took a little different approach. Fifthly, David also used what he knew best. He didn't know how to fight with a spear. He didn't have any armor. But something that he knew extremely well was thrown with a sling. Because as a shepherd boy, it's boring. And after you had written two or three psalms in the morning, you're like sitting there starting to pick off rocks and things like that with your sling. And it comes in handy. Every once in a while, a lion, bear, something comes along, and you're able to protect your sheep with that. So David was really proficient with the sling. So he thought, what do I do really well? That's what I'm going to use. And that's exactly what he did.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With a couple more lessons we can draw from the story of David and Goliath, here's Pastor Dave once again.
Now, another thing that you may or may not have noticed is he picked up 5 stones. He only needed one. Why did he have 4 more stones? Now, some preachers have speculated that it's because Goliath has 4 brothers, but you know that there was no evidence of that happening. To me, it's like, think like David for a minute. What if that first one misses? I'm not perfect. While I'm running around, I got 4 more shots at Goliath before I just plain run. Besides that, if I run, he can't catch me. I still got him mad. I made him look bad. And I'm this kid running around between his legs and he can't catch me. So to me, what I see from that is, my 6th point is that David had contingencies. He believed that his first stone was going to do the job. But if it didn't, he goes, then I'll try this, and then I'll try this, and then I'll try this. He was ready for different options. And then ultimately, finally, David was a guy who, with confidence, he went for it. He took the faith that he had in God, and he went believing that this was going to work, even though in his mind he knew it might not. And yet, for all the world, it looked like, I'm absolutely certain that I can do this. Nobody else believed in him. Nobody else had confidence in him. Saul wasn't going, oh, good, I hope we win. He's just like, I'm hoping that when this kid gets killed, somebody from Israel will step up and say, I can do better than that. But David acted with this incredible confidence in what God could do with the skills that he had, with the tactics and approach that he was taking, okay?
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, this has been The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. We'll have another great Bible story for you next time. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.